break out your pillows. It's time for message. I was very glad to go to California, but I had a request. When you come back from California, bring a message from your mom. Was what exactly Pastor said. Bring a message from your mom. So I am glad to bring a message from my mom in California. My mom, a pastor's wife. My dad, a non-retiring pastor kind of guy. Is glad to bring a message from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Let's commit a couple of minutes to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you very much for your word, the Bible, that will teach and guide us in every way and will teach us tonight. Thank you for our time together and for your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So earlier, the teachers have taught and the preachers have brought. No, bad English. But now we're going to be teaching from Grandpa. So as the teaching from Grandpa is different from the young guys coming out and giving you the fire and damnation, Grandpa has got a kind way and a kind approach. 1 John is written by the Apostle John. As he says, I write this to you. He specifically addresses himself in the pronoun form. You know, in the book of John, he writes about himself as, that disciple that Jesus loveth. He doesn't name himself. He just names himself in the third person form. So he follows the style, and we see, okay, that's the guy. So we see that older the apostle John, as he has been exiled in times past to the island of Patmos, and he has seen the resurrected Christ. He was there at the day of Pentecost. He probably got to try one of his foreign languages out, and who knows, it might have been Turkish, as Ephesus is in Turkey. Wow, Ephesus is in Turkey. Interesting. He was boiled after he was convicted for not worshiping the Caesar of the day. He was exiled when he was still alive, and he was also given the opportunity to see a great vision at that Isle of Patmos as God gave him the book of the Revelation of Christ. And now, as he's an aging fellow, he is now addressing several of the churches. You know, in the book of the Revelation, he addressed seven different churches out there. But now he is coming along, and he affectionately addresses his little children, and he calls them my little children. When I see all of you folks out there, you guys know that I'm a character with all sorts of silliness in me, but you know that I care about you deeply. In every way, I would be glad to do anything possible to show you that I love Christ in my actions towards you. So that's the same way that this fellow, the Apostle John, addresses his congregation in writing, my little children. So he comes along here and he says, I got something that I want to address to you. And he starts out in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And you know that song, behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. And he said, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But here's the thing that he's first of all saying here is, we're sons of God. We're children of God. You believe, John 3:16. You've accepted him, and he is following up on the Lord's discipleship prayer in John chapter 15, not to be taken out of the world, but to leave us in the world, that we can make a difference where we are. Okay, so here's the important thing he wants us to know. We're all sons of God. You're a believer. You're sons of God. How many have accepted Christ into their heart and are true believers of Christ? Are you saved? Do you know your destination is heaven? You're going straight from being in this earth to going to be with the Father. You are a believer in Christ. I'm talking to you, and this is where he includes you. You are children. You are sons of God. Wow, that is interesting. But here's the biggest thing. It's not about us. It's about the love of the Father. The word agape, this unselfish, this sacrificial love is for you. this love that was given to you was that same love, John 3:16, that Jesus died for you. The Father gave his Son. Wow! Behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. First of all, we see that the Father loves us. And we're going to be talking a little bit about this interesting concept of love. The first thing is the love of the Father. First thing is the love of the Father. And this love of the Father was so much that, like we saw in John 3:16, the love of the Father gave his only begotten for us. The second thing is, Now, when Noah looks at himself in the mirror, he probably does not say, I'm going to look like Charlie when I grow up. I'm going to look like my dad, because they look nothing alike right now. But we see over in verse 2 of First John chapter 3, that he says right here, Beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What does your dad look like? You want to know what he looks like? You'll see him soon, and you will look like him. Wow. Imagine that. Is you are going to look like your Father in heaven. You want a glimpse of what he looks like now? Oh, when you're serving at the food bank, that's what the Father looks like. When you're giving a kind word to somebody in the hospital, that's what the Father looks like. When you are obeying mom and dad, really? That's what the Father looks like? This is how the Father appears in one small way, but you know you're going to be just like him when you're in heaven. So start now. Let me give you a couple of ways that you can start now, because the second place is, have a love for righteousness. Have a love for righteousness. First, we see the love of God in verse 1. Now we're going to see the love for righteousness in verse 7. Little children. I know, at your age, you don't feel much like little children. But when Grandpa is talking to you, and this is Grandpa Apostle John talking to you, he's a little children. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Wow, that's an interesting question. So the first thing that let me encourage you to do is I'm going to bounce over that we need to purify ourselves. Is we need to purify ourselves. And by purifying ourselves, like we see earlier in verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. So you need to purify yourself, which means stop doing all this wrong. It's just wrong. Is sin is of the devil. Sinning is of the devil. I know that's so cliche. You'd think I was Flip Wilson from the 70s saying the devil made me do that. It's like, no, that's not. You chose to do that because, as Jesus says, you're of the Father. You're of the Father. You're of your father, the devil. Well, I get my words all mixed up. But if you want to act like your dad, act like your dad. It's pretty easy. Sinning is of the devil. You don't want to be like that. Is your dad the devil? We're born in sin. Your dad was the devil. You're born in sin, like the scripture says. But instead of being like your dad, don't make this continual progression. Like it says in verse 7, it says, he that committeth sin. Who has ever done one sin in their entire life? Okay, those that have not raised their hands, starting out with the word lie. There's one sin for you. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Okay, so one sin is the noun, but the verb is an interesting verb. It is a passive and it is an active. How do you be a passive and an active at the same time? Well, that's what it is you're committing sin. It's that railroad going down the road. And that is the Greek word that they say, hamartaine. It's like, okay, that's Greek to me. But what it means is that you're constantly doing that. Let me tell you, a person who constantly does that is somebody who gambles. You want to know how I know that he cannot get away from gambling? Is my buddy down in San Diego. He cannot stop gambling every paycheck. He's got a master's degree, but he will not stop gambling every paycheck for his family's benefit away. He knows better. His dad was a pastor. He was a chaplain in the army. He knows better. I wonder, do you really believe in salvation? You go to church twice a month, but you gamble every day. Who's your dad? It's obviously gambling. Who makes this railroad system of sinning every day? The drunk downtown I see all the time. He's got to have a beer in his hand or he just doesn't feel complete. Alice and I managed apartments in downtown. Yes, we would see these guys every day. Who is your dad? Your dad is the sin, and the sin is the one that keeps the train going down the track. This is the sinning. This is just passively continuing, going on and on and on. So who is your dad? If this is your dad, if your father is the devil, you have no ability to say, I'm going to stop this, and just promptly stop this. Maybe there's some quiet ones, a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of anger. But the thing is, you just, if your father is God and you believe in God, you can't be like this. Let me show you in verse 9. See over in verse 9? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. It may seem like a conundrum. Of course I sin, but this is the constant, continuing going of sin and do the same thing every single time. You've got this something wrapped around your ankle, and you choose to have no conscience whatsoever. Now, we know examples of John Mark, who left, and we know Demas, who left loving this present world. It's not a matter of Peter denying Christ three times and went out and wept bitterly. And then Christ says, I am wanting to have a conversation with you as if we're taking up where we left off. Peter, do you love me? It's not, hello, will you come and follow me? We're going to start from zero. No, Peter repented and came back. It wasn't like Judas. This is just a cut and dry thing. I'm not with you. Jesus clearly said, he's still hanging around with us, but he was never with us. It's a big difference. There's people in church that will be religious acting, but they will never be true believers, and you can tell a little bit in their eye, a little bit in their heart, a little bit in their actions, that they got a different dad than you do. And oh, I just wish that they would say, please, Lord, change my heart. I want God to be my heavenly Father. And you can tell if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away, and it's in your heart that you see all things have become new. And if you are a believer and if you're caught up in sin, I speak from personal experience, you cannot just keep going. There's something weird that goes in your heart that says, I can't do this anymore. Even when you're doing wrong, you'll be like Peter. You'll go out and weep bitterly. I know from personal experience what it means to weep bitterly, because I knew I was caught up in sin and I needed to get away from that. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your heart. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. That's when you'll know that you are a son and a daughter of God, is when you will not feel comfortable. You'll feel that chastening hand of the Lord, like it talks about in Proverbs, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth even as a son. The Father delights in him. You want to know, does God love you? Step out of line just a little bit and see how much God will discipline you. Discipline is not necessarily a bad thing. Our Olympic athletes discipline their lifestyle. It may be God's going to pare you back in some areas and correct you in some areas and make you a little bit better and make you a little bit tougher, make you go through lean times just to get your attention. But you're not going to be allowed to continue sinning comfortably, because your Father is God. And you want to look like God? Wow. He's going to help you get there. Here's the thing about the sin part, is you're going to be able to see the difference. Verse 10, you see right there, is in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil are manifest. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. There's a segue there. So you want to see what kind of person his kids are? Wow, you just look at them. They don't do good stuff. You want to see whose kids God's kids are? They do good stuff. One of the earmarks is, and that last phrase is, they don't love their brother. Okay, that's really ethereal. It's like, I love you, man. That's just as corny as it gets. Okay, it's really simple. I love you, Alice. That's pretty simple. Everyone knows because it's really clear. But when I say, I love you, Travis, it's like, okay, that got weird. No, is if you don't have that kind of agape love for your brother, then there's something severely wrong. You may not have the DNA. You may not be of God the Father. You may be of something else, like it says there in chapter verse 10. So here is the big question. Do you love your brother? And that's the third point is number three, love for your brother. So we see the love of the Father, verse 1. We see the love for righteousness in verse 7. Now we got the love for your brother. It's here's it really simple. Stop being hateful, verse 12. Stop being hateful. Not as Cain. That's pretty emphatic. Who was of that wicked one who slew his brother? Now, it's really hard to say, I'm going to go out and I am going to take a big stick and kill one of my church members. But have you ever heard the term backstab? It might be just like, oof, did you see what she was wearing? It's like, did you see what he just did? I can't believe what he said. And you know how it is after church? Church is over. Now it's time for not lunch, but let's go grill the preacher. It's like, oh, let's all go line up and stab him in the back by criticizing everything that he did. Complain. Wow, what a sin is that? And we also know that from Matthew chapter 5, that that's the same as murder. If you hate, the same as murder. Hate your brother, same as murder. Hate murder. Have you ever gossiped to tear somebody down and make yourself feel a little bit better? Have you ever just said, oh, I can't believe they did that? And then in your heart, it's like, oh, did I just tear that person down? Did I just stab somebody in the back? It's like, I'm not going to condemn myself. Wow, congratulations. Welcome to a room full of murderers. It's not a very comfortable church to be in here. But my mom says, please make a big issue about this. Stop hating each other in the way that you talk to each other. You're tearing each other down with your just snide remarks, your lack of compliments, your little criticisms, your little pokes and your jabs, the way that you stare, you look, you don't accept them. You know that me and Alice, we have a deep love for each other. And when you see us close, you know that we have that deep love. And you know that when one of my residents at the apartments, who has done very well at smoking marijuana to the point that it just brings a cloud of fog over our place, and he yells and screams and slams his girlfriend against the wall, and I've had to have the police come out. When he comes down the sidewalk, I don't look at him the same way I look at Alice. I have a stern look. Now, if I got it accidentally mixed up and I looked at my drug-dealing neighbor upstairs, and I was like, and I look at my wife. But seriously, how many of us have actually got it mixed up? Yeah, love your enemies. That's not the issue here, but we've got it mixed up, and you've given kind words towards people that aren't part of your family, aren't part of your church family, and you have given glares and scowls to people who, let's put it into place. Apostle John did not write this during the best time of the millennium. He wrote this when people were being burned at the stake, were being thrown to the lions, were being wholesale thrown into prison. Bad days. We need to get along. First of all, stop being hateful. Second, verse 16, die for your brother like Jesus died for you. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. How's that one? Die for the person next to you? Wow. Tim, are you ready to die for Jeremy? Wow. So, I don't know. Daniel, are you ready to die for Charles? Charles? Chili. You ready to do that? No, but in the time that the Apostle Paul wrote this, this was a reality. You may have to die for your brother in Christ. Verse 17, give him what you have. Give him what you have. Okay, here's something to do. Guys, reach in your left pocket. Take out whatever you have in your left pocket. Okay, some not much, some not little. Okay, I got a couple of dollars. How much are you willing to give it to somebody in need? Now, if I say, I need a cup of coffee, you're like, Aaron, you're just silly. Here, have some water. If somebody says, oh, I got to have $10, and you know they're a chronic smoker, don't give them $10. If you know somebody has already had 20 cups of coffee, don't give them a cup of coffee. But if you know somebody is desperately in need of rent and they have diligently worked and some reason they are short and you have an extra 5 cents to spare, 5 cents makes a big difference. How dwelleth the love of God in you, verse 17, but whosoever hath this world goods and seeth his brother in need, shuts up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? You have the ability right there in your left hand, and you say, oh, God bless you. Cheerio. Hope you do well. You know what? God is looking at you like, I gave my son for you, and you can't spare a little bit of extra? I gave you that extra. Okay, wrapping this up. What is the opposite of hate? Love. I really can't describe a biblical definition of hate, but I can define what love is. Love, really simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love suffereth long and is kind. Do that at the same time. Love envieth not itself. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Man, I hope for you boys that you guys are going to be awesome. Endures all things. Love never fails. My little children, don't just talk about God's love. Show God's love. Number one, be ready to die for each other. Be ready because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 3, verse 16. And of course, John 3, 16. Share what you have. Feel free to share with what you have. Remember, Jeremy and Daniel have to share what they have. But how about me and Charlie? Do I share with Charlie what I have? Oh, no. I got my own thing going on. Do I share with Ron? Does Ron share with me? I can tell you, Ron sure does. What a blessing. Share with what you have. And then let me quote somebody else. Peter, 1 Peter 3:8. Think like one. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion for one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Let me encourage you. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one. Let us love one another. Let us love one another, which means I'm willing to die for you. If I see you standing out in front of the street, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to, and you're going to find out if I really love you. So when I say, I love you, Travis, you're going to find out when your time of need is true. Do I love you? Do you love me? This is enough for me to give everything for you. I hope as God has given you everything, you're willing to give everything to the believer next to you. Believer next to you. Let me thank God for his gift. Dear Father, thank you for your gift of salvation. Help us to act accordingly to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.